B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two. Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Make sure you get to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com, where you can also get our app, the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can download all of our podcasts hour by hour or catch up on the show in a nutshell.
Hello, a little nutshell.
Make sure you get the app. Get all the latest Boston sports news as well. It's 98.5thesportshub.com is where you go for that. The NBA has a real problem on its hand, if you ask me. Real problem on its hands. And it just won't go away because important, influential people in the league keep talking about it. Like LeBron James. Wouldn't you say the most identifiable, most famous guy in the NBA is LeBron James? And it's not even close.
He is global.
I mean, he is the NBA in a lot of ways.
He's global. He wants to be global. Maybe he doesn't want to be global now. I don't know. But he's global. You would say, yeah, he's like Tiger Woods.
So
yeah.
You probably know the story by now. Daryl Morey, who works for the Houston Rockets, GM there, sent out a tweet a couple of weeks ago in support of Hong Kong, saying nothing more, a very basic statement, that he stands with Hong Kong. That was it. It wasn't very detailed. It wasn't all that in depth. It was basically standing with the rights of the people of Hong Kong. That was it. That's all it was. And he has faced incredible backlash from people within his own league. The tweet, again, was a photo, and the photo was a graphic that said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." That was it. That was the entire message. Mm. That was the entire message.
Yeah, not real political, just saying. You know,
fight for freedom. Fight for the right to express yourself.
What we have here. Yeah.
Fight against oppression. Fight for freedom. You would think that something as basic as that would not be controversial.
It's pretty innocuous.
In the United States of America.
You would think, somewhat thumbs up on that.
You would
right?
think that in this country.
That would be okay.
That in this country that is unbelievably divided, that if there is one thing we can all come together and we can all agree on, regardless of the things we do disagree on, and we have many things we disagree on and we are divided by many things, you would think that if there's one thing at the end of the day, hey, we might have differences, but there's one thing we can all agree on here, folks. We all do believe in freedom, right?
Yeah.
We do believe in the right to express ourselves.
Yep.
We do believe in the right to not be oppressed by a government, right?
Yes.
We all believe in that, don't we?
Yeah.
We're all on the same page there. You would think that that would not be controversial in any way, shape, or form, but leave it to the NBA, and I would expect it from the owners in this league. I would expect that because this is going to get in the way of their money like it already has. It's gotten in the way of their money in a big way. Oh, you poor babies. Oh, you poor baby billionaires getting in the way of your money. Oh, no. That's all the people of China are worth to these owners. That's all they are. They're just eyeballs worth money. They're just dollar signs. They don't give a flip about the people of China other than the fact that they watch their games or buy their jerseys. Or make their jerseys.
They make them, yes.
Okay? Or make their sneakers. That's all they care about in China. But now, for Daryl Morey to send out that tweet a couple of weeks ago and for him to backtrack because he probably got in trouble with his owner, as it sort of seems if you read between the lines. And he didn't fully apologize, but he took the tweet down. And if you read the coverage, it doesn't seem like his owner, Tillman Fertitta, was thrilled Again, Tillman Fertitta, who we laugh at that name every time we hear it because it once came up in an interview with Tom Brady and Jim Gray. He's buddies with those guys. But it doesn't sound like Tillman Fertitta was thrilled because he's one of these owners in this league. So now the NBA is pissed. Morey takes down the tweet, and I'd expect all of that, right? Which is sad. It's sad times we live in. But you know who I wouldn't expect this crap from? Players.
Yeah.
And I certainly wouldn't expect it from LeBron James. But here we are last night. And I wouldn't expect it from Steve Kerr, the way he gave a non-answer going back to last week. But I think
Steve
that
Kerr
LeBron
feels like
James,
2 weeks ago.
LeBron James has topped Steve Kerr.
Oh, it's worse. Way worse. I mean, based on what LeBron has done and tried to do.
Yeah. Steve Kerr was bad, and we're still waiting for him to come back. He still has plenty of time now that he's had a chance.
Well, he's got to see his brother-in-law.
Because you don't have to be terribly, you don't have to be all, you know, go and read volumes of information to come up with a take on this.
Right.
To again, just agree that you are for the right to express yourself and not be oppressed.
Well, Maury's uneducated.
How much education do you need, Steve Kerr, to just say those things, that you stand with people's right to express themselves freely and not be oppressed by a government? How much education do you need to say that, Steve? Not much to say you believe in those things as an American, as someone who has enjoyed those rights and believes in those things. I don't know how much education you need. So I'm still waiting for Steve Kerr to come back with that one. But here's LeBron last night in something that, again, this is sad for the NBA. It makes me think less of the league, and it makes me think less of their players, because if you're going to let LeBron do the talking for you guys, this is a bad look for all of you, because this is the face of your league. Here is LeBron James.
I think when we all sit back and learn from the situation that happened, understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. And he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed. Not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Last question, please.
You believe that Daryl was ill-informed when he did that? Is it research?
That's just my belief. I don't know. That's my belief.
End of story.
That's all I can say. I believe he was either misinformed or not really educated on the situation. And if he was... Then so be it. But
whoa.
I have no idea, but that's just my belief. Because just when you say things or do things, if you're doing it, and you know the people that can be affected by it, and the families and the individuals and everyone that can be affected by it, sometimes things can be changed as well. And also sometimes social media is not always the proper way to go about things as well. But that's just my belief.
Oh, how disappointing for LeBron
His
James
belief.
To be doing the bidding for the NBA, because that's what that was last night. That's LeBron James backing up Adam Silver and backing up the owners in the NBA. And LeBron James is not a bad guy. In fact, LeBron James is actually a very charitable guy. He's a guy that is very involved in social issues. He's a guy that has had plenty to say in his career. He's a guy that has put his money where his mouth is. He has started a school in Akron, Ohio. He is a guy who has promised scholarships to over 1,000 children in Ohio. He is someone that has put $40 million of his own money to guarantee those scholarships to those kids. Okay? This is not a bad guy. This is a guy who's backed up the things that he has said. This is a guy that has been extremely charitable, that has tried to change people's lives for the better. He is a good person.
But
so how is it that he could not just simply be for people not to be oppressed and be on the side of Daryl Morey saying that?
Because it affects his pocket.
Because it's going to impact that money.
Yes.
Which means if he's accusing Daryl Morey, if he's accusing Daryl Morey of being uneducated, the only possible thing that Morey could have been uneducated on would be uneducated on the financial implications that this could have had for the NBA. And that is it. That is the only thing that he could possibly be accusing that man of being uneducated about. The fallout that could have happened from him having what really was an innocuous tweet. By our standards.
They should have let it go.
Not by any other country's standards. By our standards, LeBron. Nobody else's.
Well, LeBron starts speaking.
What country
and he
are you living in,
knows,
dude?
He thinks that he knows more than,
well, it's his belief.
Than the audience does.
Yeah.
And ask
LeBron how much money he'd have in his bank account if he had grown up in China.
Right. He has all this money for his charitable donations. He understands that a lot of it comes from China. And for he goes up there and he starts speaking about things and he's speaking around it because he knows. He knows exactly what's going on. They can't say this about China because too much of the NBA's money depends on China. But he also thinks that he can somehow sound eloquent and educated on the matter, like we don't understand what's going on here. And it's very, very simple. All that's going on here is that the NBA relies on China for a huge amount of their income, and no one's going to talk bad about China, even if it is something that is just morally and ethically.
Something I don't believe in.
Hey, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, still waiting on you too,
yeah,
buddy.
Deer in the headlights.
You've had weeks to educate yourself on something that doesn't take that long to educate yourself on. It's not that complicated.
They don't need any. He doesn't need any education. They're all full of it. They're all lying. They know exactly what's going on.
In fact,
on.
He couldn't expound upon it, and he just ends up with, well, it's just my belief. That's it. Bottom That's, line.
Again,
everybody accept it.
Put some substance behind it. This is a guy who has plenty of substance in the other things that he does.
Yep.
Put some substance behind this one.
No, they think we're stupid and that we don't see through what they're doing.
617-779-0985. We've got that on the table. We've also got last night's NFL game and the penalties and officiating problem in the NFL. We're talking about both of these things with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.11:20 here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Hardy's having a rough go of it today after his Lions lost last night.
What are you going to do?
He's having a rough go of it.
What are you going to do?
Bad one. Bad one last night for the Lions. Paul's in Rhode Island on NFL players and drawing calls in the NFL. Hi, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call. It is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous what's happening in the NFL, this acting thing. I mean, you're jeopardizing players that really get hurt to players that don't get hurt. And I'm telling you right now, if Wayne Fonts was still a coach, he would have gone right up to that Traglia guy and he would have said, what are you putting your head back for? What are you trying to drink, a salty worm out of a bottle?
That guy is like a
this
put-on,
is
right?
Such a good
that
call.
Guy is like a prank caller.
Paul Ryan. Yeah.
That Paul and Rhode Island guy.
I don't know.
If Wayne Fonts was the coach still and salty worm out of a bottle. What? Come on.
Who likes tequila?
That's not real. It's not real.
Harley, you could have some tequila.
If Monty Clark were still there, Monty Clark would send Gary Danielson back out onto the field and say, go get him, kid. And take Billy Sims up over the top. No. No one wants Wayne Fonts back.
Fontes.
Right?
Do you know that I thought it was Wayne Fontes?
Jake is in Boston on LeBron. Hey, Jake.
Hey, LeBron's not a good person, Beetle. There are a million Muslims sitting in re-education camps right now, and instead of playing the role of Muhammad Ali, who stuck to his integrities and his morals, he's sitting on his money. Anyways, Jaylen Brown is the interesting piece of this because he hasn't been afraid to talk about anything, whether it be politics or the number of rings he thinks he's going to win. But the Celtics have protected him over the last 2 weeks. Twist and Christian Megliola over there, they won't let him talk to a camera. He talks to everyone.
How do you know that?
Because producers have told me this, because I told them to go over there and ask the question.
Who are you? Who do you work for?
If you give me the respect on that.
Come on.
Listen, Jaylen
Wait, what?
Brown,
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Zoe's laughing. You what?
I listened to the show. I brought it up. I've texted a few people I know who have gone over there, and they said he hasn't talked. And it's really interesting because Enos Kanter, for the first time in this whole saga.
See him on Twitter last night?
He subtweeted LeBron. What? It's interesting because Jaylen Brown wants a supermax. He has not been shy about asking for that. And if the NBA's got 20% of its revenue tied in China, and you have topologists thinking it's going to impact the cap, I'm curious as to what Jaylen Brown has to say, knowing that Turkey wants Cantor's head on a silver platter, and so, he wants a supermax.
So you think the team is silencing Jaylen Brown?
Correct.
Oh my God. Come on. Jaylen Brown's a grown man. He can speak. Get in front of the microphones. He can talk to anybody he wants to talk to. How can the team stop a player from talking?
Yeah. Oh, he knows people.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Guy can talk to whoever he wants to talk to.
The Celtics are going to silence it.
A team can't stop a player from talking. That's not how that works. You can't talk. You think that guy would put up with that, given where his sort of standing is with the league and the union? And no. No way. Hell no. That's not the dynamic there. The player wants to talk. He'll just tell the guys in the room, hey, right here.
Yeah.
Cameras. Me. Now. Right here. Thank you very much. Derek's in Foxborough today.
Oh.
Let's do it.
Guys. I totally agree with you. LeBron should be siding with Daryl Morey, but, he said, in past that he wants to be an owner when he's done playing. So, he's not going to piss off, Silva and all the other owners. And I just think it's kind of a weak move on his part because – he's really just looking after his money and, he's kind of just being a sanctimonious, douchebag about the whole thing, in my opinion.
I mean, it was a year. I mean, he got mad for being told just to be quiet and just dribble, right? That's kind of what he's doing to Morey.
Oh, yeah. He's basically
shut up and dribble.
Shut up and go back to the front office.
Shut up and put a tie on it, sit in the front office.
Yeah, shut up and sign contracts, Morey.
Ooh, you know? This is bad for LeBron.
That's what it is. That's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of doing that. Oh, you're not educated on the topic. Really?
Douchebag.
I think Maury's a pretty educated guy, too.
Yeah.
I think.
But LeBron is.
Yeah, you think?
Everybody stop talking.
He started the Sloan Sports thing at MIT.
Yeah, he's sort of an educated guy.
Well, LeBron believes what he believes in and just said, that's it. Everybody stop. That's because that's what I believe in.
He's a graduate of Northwestern and MIT.
Yeah.
So he's got degrees from Northwestern and
so
MIT.
T-Bone.
Oh, so he's book smart. So what? He doesn't know what's really going on.
Yeah, he's got you're going to have the sanctimonious.
You know what this has?
He's got an MBA. He's got an MBA from the Sloan School of Management at MIT.
My day.
And he's got his undergrad from Northwestern. So
he just made my day.
Big dummy. Big dummy he is.
This has a real...
And then honestly, he tweeted the most basic level of support. Like, hey, I stand with people that are being oppressed. Yeah. Like, I don't want that.
I don't want... I stand with the people who don't want to be sent to mainland China to stand on criminal charges, to be extradited there, who live in a relatively, not free, but freer region in Hong Kong. It's two locations... It's one government, two systems, right?
And for 20 years, they've been gradually trying to take away their rights.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it's got
I want them to retain the rights that they've had.
It's got a very Thornton Mellon School of Business donation feel about it, where the dean steps up, he goes, I don't think he really understands the dollar amount involved here.
Yeah.
That's what you need to educate yourself on. Do you know how much money?
Isn't that what he absolutely could be talking about? And if you read his tweets from last night, and that's what's so disgusting about what he said.
It's all money.
But it's almost like he's ready to admit that. Let me read you the two tweets. He said what he said last night, and then he knew that there was a fallout, an immediate fallout when he spoke last night. And so he went to Twitter, which is always a bad idea, trying to clean up your act on Twitter. He said, let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement could do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. So he is...
Oh, just wait till we get back.
He's basically clarifying by saying, yeah, I'm not talking about the people of Hong Kong. I'm talking about the league.
Yeah.
Didn't he think about the league
right.
and how he was going to damage
That's
the league?
That's a good point.
He was uneducated about the financial fallout and the problems he was going to cause for our league. He was only thinking about himself. Actually, LeBron, no, he was actually doing the opposite. He was thinking about other people. He was thinking about other people that
humans
actually
yeah.
he had no financial gain to think right. about. Just as a human being, he was valuing other people for no other reason than he was being a human being.
That's a real shame and that LeBron support, can't grasp that.
And wanted to support other humans yeah. for the sake of just being a good human yep. to other humans.
Right.
Not in any sort of fraudulent sense. He was just thinking of the people that are fighting back against something right now.
And he's going to be...
For no other motive other than they shouldn't be dealing with that because we don't believe in that and I don't believe in that as a person.
Yeah.
And you would think, again, to go back to my first point, you would think that if we had anything we could all agree on right now in our divided times, that would be one of the things we could agree on. But nope, apparently not.
He's going to be called a fraud now.
Because
and
the
for
NBA,
all the good that he's done, he will
the
be called
NBA
a fraud.
Is going to lose some money, and LeBron doesn't like that, and he's letting us know that. And he doesn't want to talk about the substance. Again, I said, put some substance in this. His tweet, I'm not discussing the substance.
Right.
Others can talk about that because he can't be bothered. LeBron James can't be bothered to get into the substance of this one.
He's
only concerned about his money right now, along with the rest of the NBA, and your league looks awful for it. And I hope you know it. I hope you know there are people paying attention.
Your he said on the HBO show that he wants to be an owner.
Great. In an awful league.
This explains these tweets and his comments.
Yeah.
He needs to make as much money as he possibly can to become an owner because the teams are in the billions now. He needs China to make money to become an owner so he can be with the other group, and he doesn't want to piss off any of the owners because he wants to be part of that group down the road. It actually makes complete sense why he's doing it. But he's still a fraud.
Totally.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Hardy has the headlines. Also, a quick Red Sox update. Who the hell is going to be this team's GM?
I forgot about that.
Offseason starts pretty soon, right?
The offseason is fast approaching.
Season's coming, right?
The World Series is almost here. And then the offseason begins. And I think their top candidate is now gone and off the table. I'll explain next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Small problem for the Red Sox. Minor problem. This is from Christopher Smith at Mass Live. Andrew Friedman is not a candidate to lead the Boston Red Sox baseball operations department. Here's the reasoning behind that one, so.
Extension, right?
Friedman, Dodgers president of baseball operations, told reporters Monday he expects to finalize a new contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers in the next few days. Oh, well, there's that.
Let me cross that one off.
Friedman would have been a perfect fit for the Red Sox. He not only led the Dodgers to back-to-back World Series appearances in 2017 and 2018, but he has built an elite farm system.
Oh.
Baseball America ranks LA's farm system fifth out of 30 organizations in baseball.
What's the Red Sox rank on that?
Friedman also turned around the Rays organization. He helped Tampa Bay go from a perennial last-place team to the 2008 AL champions. Smith writes, the Red Sox fired Dave Dombrowski last month. Ownership prefers to replace him with an experienced external candidate. Who the hell is going to be the GM of this team?
I don't know, but they know they're going to raise ticket prices. They do. They figured that out. They got that job done.
That is done.
Done.
1.7%.
Yep.
That is locked up. Done. Ready to go. Renewal forms in the mail. So when Theo sort of shot down the idea of coming back, and you can, I guess, cross him off the list, this was the name that I thought would make the most sense. So, Friedman. Got to wait for the Dodgers to be done. Andrew Friedman. That makes sense. Friedman ran the Rays. Friedman's contract is up in L.A. You know, why haven't they re-signed him out there? When Friedman's done in L.A., the Red Sox will go after him. They'll pursue him. They'll pay him a boatload of cash, and Friedman will come back to the AL East. And here you go. An opportunity to rebuild a farm system in Boston. And then the Dodgers had the early exit, and it was like, oh, all right, here you go. Dodgers fall apart. Dave Roberts, Big Bobo. You know, oh, or was it the analytics?
Oh, that's right, analytics versus the human element. Yeah.
Analytics, well, they got this analytics department.
Big game picture, Kershaw's just
God knows Friedman will fit right in here in Boston with them firing up the computer to get the pitching decisions going. You know, he's going to blend right in perfectly. It'll be a seamless transition to welcome Andrew Friedman to the Red Sox, and then he just comes out and tells the press, oh, no, I'm staying here. I'm re-signing a contract like next week. Oh. So now what? It's been very quiet. Very, very quiet. I'm concerned. The Fab Four, is it enough to just run the entire operation?
No. No.
It feels like they should be moving. It feels like they should have candidates lined up. I don't know. It just feels like...
it's almost like they say,
let's go.
Don't do anything. Maybe nobody will talk
do
about
something
us
here.
Or do anything. Just don't anybody move.
Dave Dombrowski was fired a month ago.
You don't do that unless you sort of have somebody in mind, right? Or unless the word was getting out and that just the whole way that thing was handled. We knew he was gone, right? Because he knew Mayles is all over this forever. Same thing with Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy, how many months ago was he coming in saying, he's going to get blamed for it? I'm telling you. And put it on him. One man. They all knew it.
See, I wouldn't do it if I had somebody in mind, but where are they? Unless it fell through, whoever they had in mind, if they really thought they were going to get Theo,
they probably didn't have it in mind.
He was going to leave Chicago.
They knew they had to blame somebody for it, and it was going to be Dombrowski. And then after that, they would figure it out. Right, that's the easiest thing to do. Fire the general manager. Okay, he won one. At least he did his job for 1 year. But you're right, it's like dead quiet.
Yes, it is.
Not a peep.
Yep, it started with Theo. Theo is definitely committed to Chicago. That's real.
And the worst thing is,
he's out there interviewing candidates to replace Joe Maddon. So that was not him.
Season's going on. You got guys like... JD Martinez talking about, well, we know they're not going to be able to afford Mookie. You know, I'm going to end up opting out of this thing. They're not picking him up. It's the second the hot stove season starts and you're going to have all these high-priced guys, you know they're not going to be in anybody because they want to cut payroll.
Jed Hoyer is also not believed to have interest in the Red Sox. So Friedman's off the board. Theo is out. Theo's guy, Jed Hoyer, is out, according to one report. Diamondbacks GM Mike Hazen just signed a contract extension, which means he's out. He's not a candidate. Another name that had been sort of bandied about was Derek Falvey, who's the chief baseball officer for the Twins. Sort of a weird title. He is from Lynn. He's a local guy, so his name had been brought up. I don't know that there was actually any connection between him and the Red Sox. I have no idea if they even looked at him, if they consider him. I don't know what his sort of his philosophical background is and how it would align with the Red Sox if there's a good fit there. But his name was brought up. He is going to reportedly sign a new deal with the Twins. So he's out. You can cross him off your list if you had him on it. No Hoyer, no Theo, no Hazen, no Friedman, no Falvey. Those are five names right there that have been rumored and brought up. Dave Dombrowski's been gone for a month. If you still want someone from the outside, who the hell is it going to be? Does that mean you're calling Billy Bean? Billy. Which I think is not going to happen. I think that's a very far-fetched idea. I don't think it's going to be him. Bring back Ben Charrington. I don't know. I think they're running out of options here.
Bring back Charrington to build up the farm system and then bring somebody else in to win the championship?
Maybe. Do it again.
And then bring someone else to deplete it?
Bring Dombrowski back.
And then bring someone else back in to trade all the chips away.
And then bring Dombrowski.
Ben, we need you to come in and start drafting guys again. And then we're going to have someone else come in and deal with the major league roster.
Who's that guy we had that built it up? And then
we a dual role guy. Charrington just needs somebody in the front office to say, no, we need to trade this guy. We can't keep everybody.
What?
Jimmy's going to pass it along to the guys.
Yeah, great. Are you Jimmy? I'm sure he will.
That's the nice way of saying we're not taking your phone call. Oh. I'll pass it along to the guys for you.
I'm sure he will.
Who's he going to pass on, Jimmy?
What's he passing along today?
Dan Duquette.
I think there is. Now that's an interesting name, but I don't think Dan Duquette's going to get an opportunity. Dan Duquette's more of an old school thinker, isn't he? They want all these new school kids. That's what they want now.
Well, he was new school in the 90s. Now it's old school.
Yeah, now it's old school. Now it doesn't really work anymore. 617-779-0985. Tom Brady last night with Jim Gray. What are you hawing about?
Damn, I look forward to these every week. I love these.
And also a column on Tom Brady. We're going to find out how much of it Scott Zolak agrees with. We'll do that coming up at the top of the hour. Brady and Gray, next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Paul. I don't think there are 3 words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, we'll talk to you at halftime. Before we leave, we got to give a shout-out to our great producer, Snake Hagen. Yesterday, he completed his first marathon in Chicago, and he did it in 3 hours and 53 minutes. So congratulations to the Snake.
Attaboy, Snake, 353 under 4, sub-4. That's pretty amazing, especially for your first one. So proud of you, man. Way to go. Get your hydration right back up, and I'm sure he'll be trying to attack another marathon here soon. But that's a great achievement.
Up there in Boston. Tommy, we will talk to you up in Boston at halftime at the ballgame.
Awesome. Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jim.
Snake Hagen, any of that guy that did the underworld thing in New York?
Wait.
Snake Plissken.
But he had the patch. Didn't he have like a patch and leather jacket, guns?
There's a lot there. Snake Hagen, congrats. Yeah, great. He's going to talk to Brady. Do they pre-tape that halftime interview for next week? I forget how they do this. Again.
When Brady plays it every week. We never hear it, though.
When Brady plays on Monday night, what do they do for the halftime interview? He goes, we'll talk to you up there in Boston. They must tape it before the game.
They joked that
there's no way he talks to him at halftime.
No. He was saying up in his next one. I'm wishing him good luck at his next one. And Gray said up in Boston. So he must be running the Boston Marathon.
He's going to run the Boston Marathon.
No. And then he followed up with.
And they said, we'll talk to you at halftime. You're up in Boston.
I took it as the kid's coming up to Boston.
Brady does a little halftime hit, too. Part of halftime.
I know, but Brady is playing on Monday night next week.
Play it again.
I know that he was saying up in Boston for Snake Hagen running Snake the marathon. Hagen. But then there was also a reference, I think, to next week. A lot to unpack here.
Trying to attack another marathon here soon, but that's a great achievement.
Up in Boston.
Up there in Boston. Tommy, we will talk to you up in Boston at halftime of the ballgame.
Awesome. Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jim.
We will talk to you up in Boston at halftime of the ballgame? No.
The game's in New York. Brady's in Boston last night.
Oh, sorry. So that's pregame, and he's saying we'll call you in Boston.
Yeah, it's just a weird comment by Gray.
Sorry, my mistake.
They did joke about next week. They're like, who should we get to fill in? He said they're joking about having Gronk fill in for him.
I thought you said Austin.
I thought you said Austin.
Oh, Boston. What's the name of that movie?
Tom
Green.
Road trip.
Okay. All right, so what did we have last night from Tommy Boy with Jim?
All right, we're talking about Isaiah Wynn. N'Keal Harry, I don't know.
So he needs protection.
Guys that are not currently playing.
Guys that he needs protection and receiving.
I'll take players who are not playing for
after,
us.
After the audio we played
two guys I want to come first off IR.
Well,
so, Tom, we see these guys go out all the time. People getting hurt across the NFL and on your team in particular. Are any of these linemen and receivers, are any of these guys coming back?
Well, we've had one they're hoping can return from injury, Isaiah Wynn, who is our left tackle to start the year. You know, he's working hard and progressing. And, you know, anytime you get players back, it not only improves the depth of the team, you know, but you get kind of some youthful exuberance as well, too. So anytime you get players back from injury, I think it's a benefit to the team. You know, they have the short-term IR rules now where you get two players back, and, you know, we haven't used any of those allocations yet. So it's up to really Coach Belichick to decide who gets those. But, you know, we're certainly hoping Isaiah can come back at some point.
Hmm. Where's number one? I agree with that one. That's your first and foremost. Helps the running game, helps pass protection.
Yeah, you need him back.
Yeah.
Even though, again,
saying I don't like Marshall Milhouse.
No.
No, it's not. And I think he's trying to help Newhouse work through stuff.
And even if he did, would you blame him?
No. Newhouse.
How about being asked about receivers and linemen coming back, and he mentions Wynn twice mention Harry
Let
at
me
all.
Hear that again, because I only heard the lineman part.
People getting hurt across the NFL and on your team in particular. Are any of these linemen and receivers, are any of these guys coming back?
Oh, yeah.
Are any of these guys any good? Because they all look like garbage to me. Any guys coming back?
I mean, he could have talked about Dorsett. I wouldn't say that's a slight at Harry.
No, not after the audio we played from Belichick and McDaniels the last couple days, no.
But could it also be that he knows that Wynn is close to coming back, and
Wynn might be closer?
Maybe Brady knows that Harry isn't that close. Isn't as close today as Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry practicing today, everyone.
What number is he wearing, Jimmy? 17?
15. He's wearing 15.
Oh. Intern.
There's an unidentified number 17 on the field. Oh. Not Antonio Brown, the media says.
So Jimmy the intern jumped the gun? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. It's okay. Unfortunate. All right. Jim Gray asking about Gronkowski.
Okay.
Does anybody ever try and push you into an area where you don't want to go, or try and lobby and push you to do something and you go along with it?
Excuse me?
Oh, gee, Hardy, I wonder if he's got an answer for that.
The hell's he talking about?
Hardy, what do you think? Anybody that you know close to him that may tell him to do something?
Yeah. Does anybody ever try and push you into an area where you don't want to go, or
use your strong leg? Your good leg.
The Met Gala, you know, dress you up like a Ken doll and maybe parade you around like some kind of boy toy. Tom,
try and lobby and push you to do something and you go along with it.
This question could mean so many things.
What the hell kind of question is this?
Anyone ever tried to expand your horizons or push your boundaries in ways you haven't pushed them before?
Tom, you went to college where there's a lot of experimenting going on. Various
Tom,
plans.
Have you,
Tom?
What the hell does he say to this?
Tom, you ever watch the movie Airplane with your friends?
Tom, do you like gladiator movies?
All right, go.
You like watching grown men wrestle?
In what sense?
Brady. He's like, all right, this question's too weird.
What the hell are you talking about?
You know what,
you
Jimmy?
Weirdo.
This question's even a little too weird for me, kid.
You had Snake Lisk in there.
That's awesome.
What the hell is this question?
Oh, push you to do something and you go along with it?
In what sense?
In what sense, you weirdo?
In what sense?
In life, in any sense.
Whoa! What? The hell's he talking about? In life, you dummy. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You sent me these questions.
Tom, these are beyond football. You know Stedman. I know Stedman. Stedman knows Oprah. You know Oprah. We talk about life. It's not like just football.
You have
Tom.
The pyramid with that eye above the pyramid. That type of life. The secret society.
The Pentaveron, Tom. We've talked about this. The secret meeting.
Boy, he came right back in.
A secret location known as the Meadows.
In what sense?
In life, in any sense.
In life. Any sense, Tom.
Maybe G wants to do something you don't want to do. Maybe a teammate wants to do something you don't want to do.
What the hell?
What is going on at home?
Maybe G wants you to dress up as a UPS guy. Somehow gets security clearance, and you bring a package up to the door, Tom. Tom, you guys ever use Uber Eats? Maybe dressed as an Uber Eats delivery person.
What is going on?
Maybe G wants to do something you don't want to do. Maybe a teammate wants to do something you don't want to do. Just anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know where he's going with this question?
No, I have no idea where this is going to go.
This is like a national interview where you got to have some sort of a heads up to this question.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God.
What is this?
Yeah.
He's trying to say as little as possible to end this question.
Yeah, that happens from time to time.
So this morning you said that you really didn't want to try and lobby Gronk. And it kind of just raises the question is why not? If he's leaving the door open and everybody knows what great success you have and great relationship you have, why not talk to him about it?
That was the long buildup to why not ask Gronk to come back.
Oh, God, does he suck? He just sucks so bad. I don't even know what this means. Well, why would you even set it up that way?
Why take all that time?
Tom, you talked this morning about Rob Gronkowski that you wouldn't bug him coming back. If you had so much success, why wouldn't you ask him? Why do you need that whole buildup? Like,
I don't know.
So your wife asks you to do things you don't want to
like,
do.
Like, is there a parallel to be drawn between doing something for your wife that you don't want to do and asking Rob Gronkowski
to unretire and come back, get his brains bashed in playing football
somewhere? Like, we all do things we don't want to do, but does that apply to asking your friend to keep playing football?
You know, like, let's say you don't want to go apple picking. Let's say you don't want to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. But sometimes you go apple picking, and sometimes you take the field again, Tom. So why not ask him?
If you think these questions are loaded, though,
ask me about Gronk.
Ask me about Gronk and if people are forcing me to tell him to come back. No?
All right, well, let's see.
Maybe he wants a narrative out there that I'm not forcing him, but I'm going to.
Let's see. Well, because it's a good point, Jim, because some people have said, why not use your powers of persuasion and your friendship with him? I don't know. Maybe because that would be a selfish, evil thing to do. The guy's done. He quit. He didn't want to play anymore.
He reiterated that again today in another interview, by the way.
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, again, I think when people make those decisions that are really life-altering decisions, career changes and so forth, I mean, they're doing that, you know, with a lot of times pretty strong fortitude. So that's not really my place to try to speak to them and what changes they want to make on their life on my behalf. So if they want to make them, they should be on their behalf. Not on my behalf. So, you know, I make the choice to play. A lot of my teammates who are currently on the team, they're making the choice to play. Other people aren't playing, and that's their choice. So I love playing with the guys that I have. I certainly have loved the experience that I've had playing with Rob. But, you know, he made a choice, and I'm very, you know, happy for him. He seems like he's in a great place.
Does he?
I don't know. That rubs me a little wrong at the end. It's like, I made the choice to play.
Yeah.
Yes, you also don't get your knees taken out on every single play. You don't have someone trying to take your head off.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.